that they requested to present to us today the findings of the Competition Commission. And I gave them 30 minutes on that one to present so that we can know what's happening, because it has got, as I'm told, a negative impact on build industry. And that is the report that we should be listening to this morning. Without any waste of time, I would like to request CIDB to be ready, and also to find out if there are any apologies before we can start. I think there's an apology from Honorable Swate. The second one is from Honorable November. Are there any apologies? In the absence of apologies, can we allow CIDB to make their presentation over to you?
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, members of the Portfolio Committee, present here, and colleagues from the CIDB, good morning. It is a great pleasure for us and a great opportunity indeed for us to present the discussion and the extent to which the Competitions Commission has gone through that they have reported to us last week, Thursday, when we met with them in preparation for this meeting that we're going to be having today with you. With me is the acting CEO on my right of the CIDB, and the two program managers on my right who are going to assist in terms of operations. Operational questions that would come out from the presentation. I'm now going to ask the acting CEO to present, but just to give an overview, the reason for us to feel that we need to present this, it's because it has been all over the papers and there has been a lot of distortions and some all sorts of reports, and many people have been asking, because the CIDB is leading the industry, what is the CIDB doing about this and where are we with it? The Competitions Commission, then we requested them to come and meet with us to give us an update of where they are. There is going to be very serious impact on the results of the commission, either way, whether there is a punitive measure or no punitive measure to anybody, there is going to be very, very serious consequences, both to the industry and also to the economy of the country at large. It's quite a very serious matter that would like the Portfolio Committee to be kept abreast of. I'll hand over to the CEO to go further. Thanks, man.
The Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Chairperson of the CID Board, and colleagues, good morning. My presentation here today on the construction, on the collusion in the construction industry, is the layout is, I'll be covering the purpose as to why we are presenting, giving the background on the Competition Commission, just for us to understand in terms of how the mandates differ between the two agencies. The matter on the table on the construction industry cartel, the construction fast track settlement process, and basically us updating the committee on the progress so far, and then giving way forward in terms of what it is that we are then doing as the CIDB. Basically, our intention is to brief the committee about the Competition Commission's investigation in the construction sector, and also to...
Hold on, ma'am. Hold on. That's a hand over there.
Chairperson, it's just a clarity from the Chairperson of CIDB. I hear the chairman saying there's an acting CEO. What happened with the previous CEO? Were we informed as a committee? I don't remember us being informed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you for that question. The CEO has been on leave since last year. She went on maternity leave and then she extended it to her annual leave. That is the situation at the moment.
Thank you very much for the explanation. Can I continue? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also to update the committee about the progress that has been made by the Competition Commission. Basically, in terms of the background on the Competition Commission itself, it is a statutory body that is constituted in terms of the Competition Act, and it is empowered to actually investigate, control, and evaluate restrictive business practices, abuse of dominant positions, and mergers in order to achieve equity and efficiency in the economy. The Competition Commission has a range of functions in terms of their act, but those include, amongst other things, them investigating on anti-competitive conduct in the contravention of Chapter 2 of their act, and also assessing impact thereof and other things. Basically, in taking some of this action, the Commission needs to then balance the issues related to competition with the broader social and economic goals as outlined in the Act. In order to ensure that they consistently apply the Act across all sectors, they may negotiate agreements with other regulatory authorities, participate in their proceedings and advise, or receive advice from any regulatory authority. It is an independent entity, but its decisions may be appealed to the Competition Tribunal as well as the Competition Appeals Court. The objectives of the Competition Commission are to promote efficiency, adaptability, and development in the economy, to also provide consumers with competitive prices and product choices, to promote employment and advance the social and economic welfare of South Africans, to expand opportunities for South African participation in world markets and recognize the role of foreign competition in the Republic, to ensure that small and medium-sized enterprises have an equitable opportunity to participate in the economy, as well as to promote a greater spread of ownership, in particular to increase the ownership stakes of historically disadvantaged persons. Amongst some of the divisions within the competition, there is one division that is called cartels. And its core functions is to investigate cartel complaints and administer the corporate leniency policy. This is the one division that we will then focus on in terms of our presentation, because it is the division that is currently investigating the collusion in the construction industry. So the construction industry is obviously one of their priorities in terms of the sectors that they are investigating. So this is how this started. In 2008, the Competition Commission, they conducted research in the industry following an outcry about the costs of the 2010 FIFA World Cup stadiums. They then uncovered evidence of possible collusion. In February and September 2009, the Commission initiated investigations against major construction firms for the possible collusion in the industry, including stadiums. In November 2009, the Commission then received approximately 160 corporate leniency policy applications. This corporate leniency policy, it's actually a policy that is used by the Commission to bust cartels. And it also encourages firms that are involved in cartels to come forward in return for immunity to prosecution. In February 2011, the Commission then launched a construction fast-track settlement process to process matters that were brought up expeditiously. In a additional 131 rigged projects to a tune of about 26 billion involving 21 firms were then brought forward to the Commission. This then gave a total of 291 projects that were being investigated. So if you look at it, then it means the additional 131 projects involved 21 firms. The earlier 160 projects were then brought up against one firm. The projects, they included major infrastructure projects such as stadiums, roads, dams, mines and shopping centers in both the public as well as the private sectors. The Competition Commission then introduced what is called a construction fast-track settlement process to basically incentivize firms to admit their anti-competitive conduct and to encourage truthful and comprehensive disclosures by firms involved in bid rigging, to strengthen evidence against firms, to minimize legal costs and speedily resolve complaints, to give firms that disclose their involvement in bid rigging better financial settlement terms, as well as to set the construction industry on a new competitive trajectory. In terms of the update on the progress of this investigation, from the settlement applications, the 21 firms were also implicated an additional 22 firms that had not participated in the settlement process, that is the fast track process. The 22 firms will then be investigated after the completion of the settlement discussions with the 21 firms. The Commission is currently in settlement discussions with the 21 firms. The process is envisaged for completion in mid-May this year. After that, the Commission will then file the consent agreement with the Tribunal at the end of May this year. The Tribunal will be then likely to finalize the consent agreement in June, July this year. So in terms of the way forward, there is what is called Rule 14 of the Commission's rules, which prohibits the sharing of information prior to finalization at tribunal stage. If I can just give a bit of background there, when we interacted with the Commission and trying to be proactive as the CIGB, we wanted to get information of which companies are involved and what the issues are so that we can start our own processes as the CIGB. But we could not get this information due to the fact that they cannot necessarily share information until the whole investigation is done and it has reached tribunal stage where that particular stage an order will then be issued, which will then allow us to then get the reports that we need. The competition will therefore, the Commission will therefore only be able to make detailed information available to the CIGB when the Tribunal has confirmed the consent agreement that the Commission is currently signing with the companies involved by issuing what is called an order. It is after that process that other stakeholders, including the CIGB, may then be able to proceed with taking steps in terms of possible transgressions of their individual codes or even acts. So in terms of the CIGB, we have what is called a Regulation 2810 in our CIGB regulations that says if an organ of state such as the Competition Commission undertakes investigations and the finding of that organ of state indicates that a person acted contrary to or has omitted to act in terms of the code of conduct, that organ of state must provide the CIGB with its findings and all other documentation relevant to its investigation. And that's the kind of report that we are then waiting for. So in the meantime, what the CIGB is then doing is we are scheduling a meeting with all other entities that may have an interest in this investigation, so that we can then start discussing the possible implications of the outcome of the Competition Commission's investigation report. We are earmarking for that meeting to take place in the first week of May. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Does the report by CIDP? Do you want to engage with the report clarification? Baba Sithole, followed by Baba Gayla. Honourable Dreher will be the third.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we must thank the presentation because it is an eye-opener. But my concern, Chairperson, is that one of the companies that were involved in this shenanigan, because we must know which are those companies. Because without knowing those companies, it means we can't have an AIDX or what happened. And the other one, Chairperson, I want to find out the findings. When are they expecting the findings? How long must we wait in order to get the findings? Because we must, actually must understand that. And I think the last one, Chairperson, first of all, we must thank the presenters, because whatever they said here, it helped us to understand the status of this
that we can just dig deeper into the consultants. What role are they playing?
because you'd ask yourself a question. Chairperson, recommendation of any tenders made through a consultant, make no mistake about it. And Chairperson of the board, you, I think you know where I'm coming from, you know. So the consultant then plays a major role in awarding any tender. Let us be fair and open about this here. Now, I know that you don't want to have much information. Are the consultants also being investigated? And I think that you need to ask from the competition board. Why are they not being investigated? Because if we want to stop the root of this problem here, we got to get down to the bottom of it. And the truth of the matter, the consultants are the main role players in any construction project. They are the main role players. So, yes, Chairperson, just to give you some, go back to them and ask, what are these consultants being investigated? What role were they playing in this collusion? And is there any possibility of extending this to other projects? Because we know, on most of the big projects, we know there's collusion with them. Most of the big projects. We'll sit here another 20 years. We'll have those people sitting there in grade one. Believe you me, Chairperson. It's going to happen the next term as well. We'll be talking the same things. Unless we grasp this by the neck and arrest this situation. And really to arrest this situation is to go even in the school projects and all that. Why are most of these projects given to the big companies? What role are they playing in upgrading our people? Are they just using them to be laborers only? Those are questions that we need to answer. Because we are wasting our time sitting here and fighting with CIDP or fighting with this. They are not the ones. So, Chairperson, I'm just adding some flesh, Chairperson of the board, that you need to find out, are the consultants being investigated? And can we go a bit further on this here, on government projects? For instance, you were at the prison in Kimberley, Chairperson. Can you tell me there was no collusion in that prison? Prison that was supposed to be 390 million, which ended up being 1.3 billion. Remember, I brought that up but, to the minister. And a lot of other projects. And why are these projects always given to certain individuals at higher rates and the so-called emerging sectors given at lower rates? Who's involved in accepting those rates? Chairperson, the previous regimes, the former homelands, were doing much better because then our people were called in. And they were told that these rates, you'll never survive with these rates here. Now we're allowing our people to go with cheaper. I'm not saying what was happening in the past was good, but there were some good elements there. And if we're taking, we hadn't taken a child in the bath and thrown them out, we're taking those good elements and used them, wouldn't have been in this mess up. We're in a mess up in a consulting industry, person. The bottom line is, you know, in a mess up. We're in a total mess up. So, that is what I'm saying, Chairperson of the board, is that let us look at these things proper, or else you're going to sit and going to hammer you. The next group that's coming after 2040 is going to hammer you, and you'll always have those great ones unless we arrest this problem now. Thank you.
It seems that the Competition Commission, well, I'm quoting from their report, they've got a range of functions, and these include they can investigate, they can assess, they can monitor, they can identify impediments, but it doesn't say that they can actually prosecute or that they can have disciplinary hearings. I'm missing that one, so I want to check. Do you not have such powers? Because there's a tribunal, a competition tribunal and competition appeal court, so it implies that you can actually have hearings with findings which people can then appeal, but it doesn't say it here because it seems further that you have a very strong prima facie case. There's strong evidence, you say, of bid rigging or collusion. Now, once you've completed your provisional investigation with the 21 firms that have come forward voluntarily, you need to, you want, you possibly want to go further. But what is that next action step that you plan to take? I'm asking because if people behave wrongfully, there must be consequences. So I'd like to hear from you, what is the following action step?
Thank you, Honourable Madlopa.
Thanks, Chair. I think I see that according to this competition commission, they are going to focus on the complaints. What I'm trying to check, there is no over and above the complaints, the specification that they are going to focus at. It's 2009. They are starting from the 2009 stadiums and so on and the other companies. But there are no other specifications that are given over and above than the complaints, because maybe the complaints may be shallow and not go to the deeper investigation of the problem per se. And the other thing, Chair, is the concern of the incentives given to these criminals, because they are indicating on the presentation that they are going to incentivize firms to admit their anti-competitive conduct. You know, these people become criminals, do wrong things, and then they expect that they are going over and above this criminality that they have done and be given incentives. You know, it's just a concern, but I know that maybe it's the way of trying to get them coming forward. But really, this is a bad thing that we are doing, that we compensate the criminals and they continue with this thing. They are involved and then they quickly jump and say, I'm the witness. I'm just giving the information to the government. It's really not on, really, to us. I think these criminals must be taken to prison so that we can be exemplary as government. I think I agree with my colleague Graham to say that, you know, just for them to say we investigate and then we don't prosecute them. I know that they can be prosecuted, but they can appeal and so on. But really, I think we need to make an example with these people if they are found out.
Mine
also is to add my consent to thank the presenters for the information, and to add my word of concern to my colleagues. Actually, it's not. More of a comment than a question. I think the role played by the big companies is just to milk the government dry. They are making sure that really happens. But my question is around the involvement of our own engineers in the estimations. But because we're saying that was discovered only after that 2010 stadia were built. Don't we have our own engineers to give the rough estimation? I mean, someone who has got the background of being an engineer and all that could have picked this up while it was, because billions and billions were spent by the government on the stadium. And to be honest with you, they were only looking at themselves. I remember there were lots and lots of strikes during that. It means they were, even the people who were working were underpaid, and there was no way that the small companies were assisted during the process. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Ngwenya Mabila. We'll be followed by Mama Matlan.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me start by appreciating the presentation, hoping that we're going to get the detailed report after the investigations have been completed. Chair, I just wanted to find out the role that has been played by
by the CC in monitoring the competition. Then secondly, there's a lot of abuse of these small, medium enterprises. What role are they playing by these big companies? Can they just clarify what assistance are they giving to these small and medium-sized enterprises who are being abused by these big companies? One of the objectives of the Competition Act is to promote a greater spread of ownership, in particular to increase the ownership stake of historical disadvantaged persons. Chair, I think we all know that there's a lot of fronting that is taking place. How do they, or what role are they playing to make sure that if the previously disadvantaged are mentioned as shareholders in those big companies, they are really shareholders, they are benefiting, rather than, being part in documents, but they don't benefit anything. They're not even aware that they are shareholders of those big companies. How long does the investigation take place? Because to find out there's an investigation forever, according to, if we have started, when did you start this investigation? And according to the norms and standards, how long are these investigations going to take place? Further, to get an information whether these big companies that you are investigating, are they cooperating during this investigation process? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is a small question about the tribunal. I want to know, this tribunal consists of who are these people sitting on this tribunal, which organization, and secondly, after the finding of the tribunal, what's going to happen when they discovered that certain companies violated the agreement? Thank you.
Thank you, Mama. CIDP, can you please respond, and can we know their names? Can you shame those big companies? We never want to name them and shame them.
Thank you so much, Chair of the committee and the members. I will respond to the strategic issues here, and the members of the staff of the CIDP will respond to operational matters. The first one was on the disclosure of the names of the companies that are involved in this. During our meeting with the Competitions Commission on Thursday, they told us that they are bound by clause, I think number 9, in terms of that establishment of that commission, that they may not make any disclosures before the July final date. So we will not be able to tell you who the companies are. How long will the findings take place to be published? I think that will be after June, July. The terms of reference of the CC. The terms of reference, it's supposed to start investigating from September of 2006, although it was established in 2009, starting the investigation from September of 2006 and up until later date. Why are the consultants not punished for corruption? Who awards these tenders? The processes of awarding tenders is becoming very much challenging, particularly even in municipalities. The consultants are to recommend who should be awarded the contract. They do not themselves award the contracts. The people that have got the final say on the award of the contracts is actually the client themselves. In other words, the municipality X or department A or whatever it would be but it is not the consultants. Yes, I understand that there is a dire need for us to take a very serious look at the consultants, because still, even with that, it doesn't mean that they are very clean on this. They must be participating in some forms of corruption when there is corruption. We are going to pay attention to that. And also, we must also bear in mind that it is not the CIDB that is investigating. It is the Competitions Commission that is conducting this investigation. What powers does the Competitions Commission have? I think that would be provided, will bring a detailed report on that, which would actually outline the Competitions Commission powers in terms of their establishment. The next step after investigation of the 21 companies, let me explain this a little bit maybe. What happens is the Competitions Commission investigates the anti-competitive behavior. That's as far as the Competitions Commission does. It investigates the anti-competitive behavior. After that, there are several other agencies that have got to take interest. You'll get the Special Investigating Unit, which will be interested in investigating whether there's been any criminality in that. And then it will pass it on to the NPA. You'd find the CIDB looking at the whether there have been any contraventions of the CIDB Act and the CIDB regulations, and the CIDB then would take action. You find that the South African Receiver of Revenue Services would take interest. Has there been any money that has been exchanging hands? How was that handled? And they would follow that. You'd find that there are clients that have awarded these contracts. If, say, a tender was about 1.5 billion rand, and it was meant to be a 1.2, then the client has got to say, why did you rob me of my 300 million rand? Please bring it back. That will be something else as well. There are several other organizations that will be in there. If they get clemency or leniency from the Competitions Commission, it does not mean that they have got leniency on any other, from any other organization. I think that is very, very important, because all the other organs, they do not report to the Competitions Commission. They are established independently under different acts of parliament. So I thought that I could.
Chair, can I follow up on this one? I don't hear it clearly.
No, she didn't take long because we only allocated 6 minutes. Yes, ma'am.
I understand that there will be other agencies that will take part in the process, not only the Competition Commission. But if we are saying they will just take part, they will take part on the recommendations of the Competition Commission. They can't just start again investigate. They will investigate the findings. I don't understand, because if the Competition Commission messes up, it means to say that even the other agencies, they are not going to enter, because they are not going to start from scratch. They deal with the recommendation from the Competition Commission. That's what I don't understand. If you say that they can, if those they can do something wrong, because the Competition Commission, they can enter. They can't enter. I think if the Competition Commission is not doing well their work, the other agencies won't enter, because it's the recommendations that are taken to investigation unit. Can you just clarify on that question?
Yeah, no, Chairperson, you are right, I agree with you. But even with that recommendation, sometimes there is collision within that recommendation. That's where the problem is. That's what I'm trying to say. That recommendation needs to be investigated. And unfortunately, with the shortage of skills within government, we have a problem, then we rely on the consultants. That's what I'm trying to say. I agree with you to a certain extent, but it has been proven that that recommendation has collusion within it. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I fully agree with you, Honorable Mr. Kela. Definitely, that is all what you said is as you are saying. And that's why I said that we'll also pay attention to them. As for the ability and the truthfulness of the commission results, will entirely depend on that competition commission. They are the only people that have been investigating that. We will base anything, any activity will be based on their report, the integrity of which I don't know. I will not be able to question, and he said will not be able to query the integrity of the commission, and that is how it is. But we will deal with the factual information coming from that. How it works is that the Competitions Commission, because of lower capacity of investigating, they decided to call on all the companies that were involved in collusion, rather all the companies in the industry, to say those that are involved in collusion must come. The first one to open the door must disclose everything and must implicate the others. And if there is full disclosure, you are going to get leniency from the Competitions Commission. That's their setup, and CIDB has got no authority to interfere with that at all, because it is in terms of that Competitions Commission.
Any addition?
I was still going on, but yeah.
Madam Chair, I want to put it to the team from the CIDB that there is another route. All professions have their own professional bodies, and if you're an architect or an engineer or a psychologist, you're registered with your professional body, and they usually have their own internal code of conduct, and you've got to comply with certain standards of behavior. Otherwise, you bring your profession into disrepute. So if you misbehave, so to speak, your professional body can actually investigate your conduct. So if it's an engineering company or architects, whoever has been involved, you can request the relevant professional body to investigate those members of the profession. Has this happened?
Thank you, ma'am. Maybe I did not explain it extensively. The professional bodies have got their own responsibility as well, because professional bodies, by their own act, they are supposed to protect the public from unscrupulous professionals. That is the responsibility of all the professionals, professional registration bodies. Therefore, you are dead right. They are going to have to act after the disclosures have been made and after they have been certified June, July. They cannot do anything before then. They will go, because the disclosure is going to say this is how they did it, this is how they crooked the government, crooked the client, crooked anybody else, and therefore that consultant that was involved there will be dealt with. If it's an engineer, he's going to face the Engineering Council of South Africa. If he's an architect, their council and all those councils. Definitely they will.
Thank you. Can we wait for a report in before, I'm just referring to the members, can we wait for the final report in July? That will strongly engage with it. Because in that report there will be names of these big firms, everybody will be there so that we can be able to know. Do you have any additional?
I heard that the chairperson is saying that it's just a call from the Competition Commission to say those who colluded must come forward. If they don't come forward, what will happen? Although they have been named, but they don't have evidence that they were involved. If the Commission called them and they don't come, what will happen?
Well, the Competitions Commission has been given powers to call them, and they cannot not come. They will be breaking the law. That's as simple as that. They will face the consequences in terms of that commission. But if the guy comes in and he says that we are colluding with A, B, C, and D, remember, the condition is that you disclose and you implicate the people you are colluding with. So that's kind of first-hand information. They bring all the evidence because of their low capacity to investigate. That's That's why they call people to do that.
From your colleague Chairperson, from the acting CEO.
Chairperson, I don't necessarily have anything to add. I think the chairperson of the board has covered everything, except to say that, as we mentioned, that we are beginning engagements early May with the Competition Commission as well as other agencies. We will take all the comments that from this specific forum to the Competition Commission, so that when we come back, we can be able to then respond to some of the issues in terms of things that we still need to get further information from the Competition Commission.
Just also for the benefit of the members, a full comprehensive written response will be sent to you in a week on all your questions that you've asked here, and some of them that probably might not have been dealt with properly. You'll get the full report on that. Thank you.
It's just a small one, Chairperson. Now that we don't know the names of the big companies, and there will be some projects that have been advertised, they will keep on bidding as long as their names are not pronounced and shamed.
Thank you, ma'am. They will definitely, they've got, they're within their full right to tender for anything at the moment, and they might put the government and anybody else into serious trouble if we are saying they must stop now, because they will feel that they are punished twice for an offence, and in South Africa, probably that is not allowed.
Thank you very much for this briefing. Ngoya Mabila.
Chair, if I'm out of order, you will rule me that I'm out of order. I'm just listening to the responses that they will get some of the responses from the Competition Commission. Then I was asking myself, who is presenting now? The IDB, the Competition Commission, because if we're supposed to discuss this thoroughly, I think if the Competition Commission is not part of us, in our next meeting, I think there should be someone from the Competition Commission, so that at the end of the day, when we ask questions, they're not being, you know, prolonged, that we're still going to get responses from the other stakeholders. So that
Honourable
that
Member,
is why I need the clarity.
That's why I'll rule you out of order. Because there were notices where we said CIDB will come and brief the portfolio committee, because the findings of the Competition Commission impacts on the build industry. So they were here to come and brief us. After they were briefed on Thursday by the Competition Commission to say, these are the results of our investigations, and they are impacting. Can we please have one meeting? The impact on the build industry. And they didn't want us to get it from the papers. They wanted to prevent, and I did consult to say, let them come and give us a preliminary report, and we'll get the final report in July. Thank you. Can we not waste time on this one?
I'm not wasting time, Chair. I think I want to make a proposal. While we will be discussing the report in July, I think as the committee, we've got the powers even to invite the Competition Commission to be part of that meeting. That is my proposal, Chair.
That with you, Honourable Member. Can we allow them to...
Just an addition. Also, CBE, Chairperson. They must be part of that meeting. Because
thank
they
you.
Are coming as the consultants.
Anropa?
No, I'm covered, Chair, because I wanted to make the proposal that they must be part of our meeting next time.
Thank you. Chairperson?
Can can I also advise the committee that maybe because we are going to have this meeting with all the entities that might be affected by these disclosures of this anti-competitive behavior and collusion, then we ask a committee that is going to come out of that representing all the entities that are affected, whether it's SARS or anyone or National Prosecuting Authority or anyone, to come through, have each entity being represented, because I've proposed with them to the commission that we coordinate a meeting that is going to have all those entities. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we allow them to make their presentation? Thanks for the presentation. Thanks for the eye-opening information, though we wanted to get the names, but it's beyond your mandate. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now I'll be presenting on the strategic and annual performance plan of the CIDB for the 2013-14 financial year. The layout of my presentation will cover the vision and the mission, the mandate of the CIDB, organizational structure, the baseline performance, as well as the strategic priorities, just highlighting those for the 2013-14 year, and then looking at the key focus areas per program, and then also reporting on the budget and the staffing in the CIDB. In terms of the vision for 2013-14, we have revised it as follows, that our vision is to be a transformed construction industry that delivers value and contributes to economic growth of South Africa. Our mission being to drive enhanced delivery management, capacity improvement, and contractor development in the construction industry through strategic interventions and partnerships. Our mandate as the CIDB is to provide strategic leadership to construction industry stakeholders, to promote sustainable growth of the construction industry and participation in the emerging sector in the industry, promote improved performance and best practice of public and private sector clients, contractors, and other participants in the construction delivery process, promote uniform application of policy throughout all spheres of government, and promote uniform and ethical standards, construction procurement reform, and improved procurement and delivery management, including a code of conduct. And also to develop systematic methods for monitoring and regulating the performance of the industry and its stakeholders, including the registration of projects and contractors. Our organizational structure is led by the executive authority, who is the Minister for Public Works, and then the board, the CEO, and then the program managers of the different programs within the CIDB, that being the Register Service, the Industry Performance, Procurement and Delivery, as well as provincial offices and contractor development, and lastly, the corporate services. In terms of our baseline performance, that is basically the highlights for the 2012-13 financial year. Some of the key achievements that we are reporting here today is we have managed to work on the amendments to the Construction Industry Development Regulations, which have been published for public comment. The amendments will improve the contractor registration requirements whilst we maintain the integrity of the register as a macro risk management tool for the public sector. We are also have been working on the standard for indirect targeting for enterprise development, which has been approved by the board for gazetting. The requirements for contractor performance reports, that is for grades 2 to 9, has also been approved by the board for gazetting for public comment. The quarterly SME business condition surveys has also been extended to monitor access to credit as one of the business constraints in this sector. The National Contractor Development Program and the guidelines thereto were launched by the Minister in KZN. Some of the key challenges that we faced in the year 2012-13 was the processing turnaround times for grade 2 to 9s in terms of finalizing the applications within a 21-day turnaround time, as well as grade 1s within a 48-hour turnaround time. These we could not achieve in entirety due to teething problems of our new registration system that we rolled out in 2012-13. When we ended the financial year, we had 67% of the applications which were processed within the legislated turnaround time, so which then meant that 33% we could not actually process within the allocated time. We have put corrective action plans in place to stabilize the system, and that is progressing very well. The NIMS project, which looks at the infrastructure management strategy, the implementation thereof was delayed in 2012-13. However, that project implementation has started and it is progressing well. The anti-corruption model has not been finalized as the consultation process with stakeholders are still ongoing. This we had also set ourselves to finalize within the year 2012-13. The overall performance of the CIDB, out of the 54 targets that we set ourselves, 17 of those will not be achieved or were not achieved due to two things. One, the issue of the system, the new system, that is the registration system for CRS, which I mentioned in bullet one, and also the fact that some of the standards that we wanted to have finalized by the end of the financial year were not finalized because the consultation processes are still underway. So those are just some the key challenges that we faced in 2012-13, if you look at what we had planned we were going to have finalized by the end of the year. Now, going to the 2013 strategic priorities, the CIDB has set itself the 8 strategic priorities. First one being the provision of contractor and client support through our provincial offices. What we're looking at there is to increase our participation of the emerging sector in the construction industry, to provide support in enterprise development and reform the industry players. The second one is the improvement of the construction registrar service through business process excellence. I did mention the issue of the upgrade of our registration system, which we implemented in 2012-13, and we are looking at upgrading that even further to then address some of the shortcomings that were identified. We obviously, our goal there is to maintain the integrity and reliability of the construction register, because the bigger chunk of the business of CIDB is around the registration of contractors, which we obviously looking at in terms of projects being registered as well. The improvement of efficiency on the contractor registration process. So that will be a continuous thing, because we need to ensure that from time to time we do improve in terms of our registration processes. The third goal or strategic priority is the improvement of compliance to and maintenance of the CIDB prescripts and combat fraud and corruption in the construction industry. We will still work on the promotion of compliance with our prescripts, thus minimizing the rate of fraud and corruption in the industry. The fourth strategic priority is the promotion of uniformity of construction procurement systems in the organs of state. We're obviously looking at improving infrastructure delivery in the state by assisting client departments with improved processes insofar as procurement delivery is concerned. The fifth priority will be to monitor the performance of the industry, the construction industry. We will monitor and evaluate the performance of the construction industry so that we are able to then provide guidelines and inputs on how we could actually grow the industry. The sixth priority is to improve the performance of the sector and providing value to clients. Our goal is to promote contractor development and also promote improvements in performance by contractors. The seventh priority is to improve the infrastructure, delivery skills and management practices in the construction industry. Our goal is to support the development of the infrastructure delivery skills by providing guidelines and support to all the client departments. And lastly, our eighth priority is to build, strengthen, and maintain relationships with all our stakeholders by facilitating information sharing amongst the industry stakeholders to continuously improve the performance and growth of the sector. Some of the key focus areas, if we look at this PEP program, the first program being the Construction Registration Service. We will be focusing on the maintenance of an efficient registration service in terms of process, the turnaround times, and the quality of the information that then we process and get out of the registration service, and an efficient query resolutions process. We also will be focusing on producing high standards of data quality in the registers that we keep. Insofar as the construction industry performance is concerned, our areas of focus for 2013-14 will be to monitor and evaluate the performance of the industry through our construction industry indicators, the CIIs, and quarterly monitors registers. To develop and promote construction best practice guides, to develop and implement the best practice registers in support of improving the performance of the industry. And lastly, to support the development and promotion of infrastructure delivery skills by hosting postgraduate conference. In the program for procurement and delivery management, we will be looking at enhancing our infrastructure delivery management toolkit, IDMT, and monitor its implementations by client departments. The program includes developing the course material for IDMT, the rollout, and the annual evaluation of the application of the report. Improvement and maintenance of the regulations to enhance procurement reform and delivery management. Improvement of construction procurement skills, and lastly, enforcing compliance to our regulations. Insofar as the program for provincial offices and contractor development, the focus points will be to implement the National Contractor Development Framework, to monitor and evaluate the performance of the contractor development program, and to provide support through provincial offices to contractors, clients, as well as partners. The CEO's office will be promoting the relationship with all stakeholders through our national and provincial stakeholder forums. The MTF budget and staffing for 2013-14, I will focus on the fifth column, which looks at the 2013-14 budget. Our allocation from the Department of Public Works is actually looking, if you compare our adjusted appropriation for the period 2012-13, 114 million, which has then grown by 6 million to 2013-14, thus giving us a total of 122 million from both the department in terms of the grant, as well as what we raise from registration fees, which is then divided amongst all the programs in the CIDB as reflected on the slide. And then in terms of staffing, our total establishment is 223 employees, and they are also divided amongst the different programs in terms of the programs that are in the CIDB. In conclusion, the board has committed itself in providing effective oversight role to assist the CIDB to achieve its objectives in an efficient and an effective manner. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, are there any additions? Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, there's tea outside. Can we break for 5 minutes? For tea and come back for deliberations.